98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
The midway point of this Burns and Gambo show on this Big Red Monday, so it's time to hit the reset button on the show and get you caught up on everything that is going on in sports. We start with the 49ers. They have reached an agreement with the Cardinals and the NFL to play their remaining home games, at least the next two of them, at State Farm Stadium due to the current COVID protocols in Northern California. Here is Cliff Kingsbury on the fact that San Francisco is the new home team at State Farm Stadium.
Obviously a challenging situation for them. We're glad it worked out that we could, you know, host them in a way and allow them to use these facilities and continue to keep their season going. It's kind of 2020 in a nutshell, and I'm just glad it all worked out for them.
Yeah, it works out with the schedule, Gambo. There's no conflicts. The 49ers will host the Bills on Monday Night Football at State Farm Stadium on December 7th, a week from tonight, and then they'll host the Washington football team on December 13th in Arizona, and neither of those days conflict with anything the Cardinals have going on.
Yeah, listen, it makes total sense for the San Francisco 49ers to leave Santa Clara County and come here to Maricopa County. I mean, Maricopa County currently averaging twice as many COVID-19 cases per 100,000 residents as Santa Clara. So, I mean, it makes all the sense in the world to leave Santa Clara and come to Maricopa County with double the amount of cases here of COVID-19. Yeah. Just common sense. I mean, just typical common sense.
As usual, Gambo, laced with sarcasm there, right? Yeah, just a smidge. It just laced with it. Yeah, there's Santa Clara County announced Saturday restrictions that prevent contact sports in the county for 3 weeks. And that affects Stanford, too. I just read a tweet a moment ago from Stuart Mandel, and I saw John Wilner had tweeted this out earlier. Stanford is going to travel to Seattle tomorrow, and they're going to practice there this week for their game against Washington. Like the 49ers, Stanford is being affected by the Santa Clara County Health Directive. So it's not just the Niners. It's Stanford, too. They have to go pick up. Now, what we don't know about the Niners, we know they're going to play their games here. We don't know if they're going to practice here. That has yet to be determined, but their games will be played. Speaking of games, the Ravens-Steelers game, once on Thursday, then moved to Sunday, then from Sunday to Tuesday, now from Tuesday until Wednesday. Go ahead.
And then when do they play again after Wednesday?
Let me play the Schefter cut, and I'll answer your question, okay? Because, you're right. When do they play again? Here's Adam Schefter.
We know that the game currently now is being rescheduled to Wednesday, which will put pressure on week 13 when Washington plays at Pittsburgh, when the Ravens are supposed to host the Cowboys. Those teams will have short weeks to get ready for their next week. And obviously this will also mean that there are no other positive tests in Baltimore. I think the league feels like it's got a pretty good handle on it right now.
So to answer your question.
Forget it. It was a terrible question of mine then. So the teams that they play the next week are the Redskins and the Cowboys. So they can basically just play their third-string guys against those guys, and it should be fine.
There you go.
Yeah.
So basically, I understand it, is a Monday triple header. Washington, Pittsburgh on Monday, Ravens, Cowboys on Monday, and then the Bills and the Niners on Monday. So now you got three games on Monday since you've got a game on Wednesday.
Is that the same amount of time that you would have off from a Sunday to a Thursday game? You'd have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off. If they play Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you'd actually have an extra day.
You'd have an extra day.
Yep. You'd have an extra day. So it's actually not as bad as the Sunday to Thursday game.
Yeah. Suns GM James Jones met with the media today. His team will begin training camp this week, and he says, I fully embrace the raised expectations for this basketball team.
The fans, their expectations should be for us to win the title. That's the only way I know how to play. That's the only way I played. You know, that's my approach. I mean, I think you can ask coach, you can ask our players, you can ask our staff. We don't come in here to just win games. We come in here because we know in order to win a title, you need to win a lot of games. So playoffs, titles, however you strike it, we're here to win games.
So there you go. Training camp later this week. They made most of their new additions official, the signings of those new additions and the trades and things like that. It's all official, Gambo. The NBA season is almost upon us.
Yeah, and you know what? I like James Jones putting that on him. Hey, I was a player. I won championships. My expectations that we're going to win. I'm not trying to get to I'm not trying to get to 50 wins and make the playoffs as the 7 seed. We want to win big. We're putting together a roster that we think eventually is going to win a championship. I like that talk.
And just real quick, the Pac-12 today in naming their weekly awards in basketball, men's basketball freshman of the week, Josh Christopher ASU.
Yeah. He had a couple of great games.
18.7 points.
First game he didn't play that well in, but the next two games he was fantastic.
Yeah. ASU 2-1 to start the season. They hit the 100 mark yesterday against Houston Baptist. They lost to Villanova, but Villanova is a top three team in this league. 18.7 points, 58% shooting last week as a freshman. Everything they thought he would be so far to start the season.
Yeah, and that U of A NAU game is going to be rescheduled, I think I heard, right?
Yeah, I believe I heard the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah,
yep, so good.
So those are the stories going on today. Of course, our top story of the day comes to us, from the Arizona Cardinals and yet another frustrating loss.
50-yard attempt to win the game for Nick Folk. Tied at 17, 3 seconds to go. Folk is ready. Snap, ball is down, the kick is up. The kick is good, and the Patriots win the game 20-17. A brutal loss for the Cardinals. They came back after leading 10-0, and the Patriots scored 17 unanswered points. The Cardinals came back to tie it. Zane Gonzalez misses a field goal. The Patriots make one, and they win it 20-17.
If you boil it down to one thing, Gambo, is the Cardinals lose 20-17 to the Patriots, what's the one thing that you are the most frustrated about when it comes to yesterday's game?
Cliff's inability to close out these games. His inability, and again, I've said this. I'm not asking him to go on a 10-play, 75-yard drive and take up 8 minutes. There's not 8 minutes left. There's not 7 minutes left. There's not 6 minutes left. There's not even 5 minutes left. When that clock is at four and a half minutes, you've got to have the ability to move the ball enough down the field to not let the other team get the ball back. But, you know, these last couple of times, Cliff's clock management and, play calling has enabled other teams to get the ball back. It's unacceptable. It's not good enough. You know, they moved the ball 20 yards. Dre Kirkpatrick had an interception at the 47-yard line. They moved it 20 yards. That's it, 20 yards. We'll get into Zane Gonzalez in a second. But the bottom line is, like, even if he makes the kick, you're giving them the ball with a minute and 47 seconds left. Why? Why? Like, you have to do a better job of, and I know easier said than done, but this is what the best teams do late game. They don't give the other team the ball back. San Francisco didn't give the ball back to the Rams yesterday. You make sure that you hold on to the ball. You kick to either win or go to overtime, but you certainly don't give them the ball with a chance to win the game.
Yep, that's fair. For me, it would be Kyler Murray and his, once again, either unwillingness or his inability to run the football. I mean, whether it's the Patriots defense and what they were taking away or an injury that still lingers that's causing Cliff Kingsbury to hesitate to call Kyler's number or Kyler hesitating to call his own number when those situations arise. It's very clear that the Cardinals offense, in terms of that unpredictability, that sizzle that they were bringing during that 4-1 stretch when they were the talk of the NFL, that is reliant upon Kyler Murray's ability to run the football. I know he says it's not, but it's very clear that it is. And until they either A, get that back, or B, find a way to scheme it up if teams are going to take it away from them, they have got to counterpunch this notion that maybe teams have figured out how to slow Kyler Murray's ability to run the football down. Because if that's the case, Cliff, you're an offensive genius. You got to scheme up something to react to that. Because if you don't, then Gambo's right. You're going to be an 8-8 football team this year. And Gambo's right, part two, you're going to be under a lot of pressure next year to make the playoffs. A lot of pressure. Yeah. That, to me, is the number one thing.
You can't start off 5-2 and end 8-8 and not have a whole boatload of pressure on you that next year. You can't flop on. Listen, there were firings in this league over the weekend. The Lions fired their coach and the GM. The Jaguars fired their GM. Like, you know, this team has a chance to have a good year, and maybe they'll finish strong, and we'll look back at some of the blips and be like, okay, but they made the playoffs and they won a game, and next year's going to be great. But the thing that you worry about right now is the collapse. You worry about the collapse that would turn a 5-2 football team into an 8-8 football team.
And then there's the kicker. After another high-pressure late-game miss, Zane Gonzalez, public enemy number one for Cardinals fans, if the organization decides to go in another direction at the position, what exactly are their options? Talk about them next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday with Burns and Gambo. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
45-yard try. Andy Lee to hold. Gonzalez ready to kick. Looking to give Arizona the lead here. Tied at 17. Snap. Ball is down. The kick is up. And it's wide to the right and no good. Gonzalez missed it. And the Patriots will take over with a minute 47 to go and an opportunity to win the game.
It's been a while since you put gas in the limo, right?
It's been a while, yeah. Yeah. The limo was at the shop, but... You know, I didn't have confidence he was going to make the kick. I don't know why, but probably the last couple of times he's lined up for big kicks and missed. That's the third now that I've counted in the last few weeks where he's lined up for a big kick and he flopped it. He got a break on one because Cliff called a timeout. And another one was a 49-yarder. He came up short. So he missed a 41-yarder, came back and made it because Cliff took a timeout. Then he missed a 49-yarder. He was short. And now he misses a 45-yarder. Look, you're not going to last long in this league if you can't make 45-yard field goals. Okay, you got to make them. You just have to make them.
Yeah.
There's plenty of kickers in this league. There's about 12 of them right now that made all their kicks between 40 and 50 yards. You want to miss from 52? You want to miss from 55? Okay, we understand that. Nobody's perfect. But you missed a 41-yarder, a 45-yarder, and a 49-yarder in the last 4 weeks. It's unacceptable. It's time for a new kicker. I mean, that's it. It's time for a new kicker. Go find somebody. Because I don't trust this guy. And if Cliff doesn't trust him, that's even worse. Because it's going to affect the decisions you make on the football field.
Now, Cliff, today with Bickley Murata, says, yes, I still trust him. Yes, I still have confidence in Zane Gonzalez.
Has anything changed in terms of your confidence, the organization's confidence in Zane Gonzalez?
It hasn't. Like I said last night, he's been really good for us. Zane knows he's got to make those kicks. They arise, and we believe he will moving forward.
Now, look, I understand. This is not my first rodeo. This is not your first rodeo. I understand Cliff has to say that. He has to say that in a public setting like an interview on the Bickley and Murata show or in a Zoom press conference. But I will never believe, Gambo, for a minute that Cliff actually believes that or that guys on that roster right now actually believe that, that flight home from Foxborough wasn't one of the longest and one of the loneliest plane rides that Zane Gonzalez has ever been on. I think back to that Seattle game. You remember the video that circulated in the locker room where Cliff was handing out the game balls?
Yeah.
And he gave one to Isaiah Simmons because he had the interception, and he gave one to Fitz, and he gave one to I can't remember who else, but Zane Gonzalez got one. I will never forget the look on Zane Gonzalez's face when he got it because he was almost like ashamed that he got it, right? He almost knew that this is nothing to celebrate because I missed a 41-yard field goal. And if I hadn't been given that shot at redemption at the end of the overtime, I'd be the GOAT right now. And not the good kind of GOAT, the bad kind of GOAT. I'd be the reason why we lost. And so he almost knows when Cliff throws in that football, yeah, thanks, I guess, but we all know how close I was to being the reason we lost this thing and not the reason we won this thing. He knows it. And Cliff can say, can reiterate all the confidence he wants, but you can't tell me that there is confidence in that locker room the next time Zane Gonzalez is lined up somewhere between 40 and 49 yards with the game on the line. I don't know if anyone's going to believe he can hit it at that point.
Well, listen, I always liked him. I loved him at ASU. I thought he was great. And then when the Cardinals signed him, I thought that was great too because I think he's a terrific kicker. But I don't know what's happened. I mean, you know, who was that Tampa Bay kicker that was, you know, unbelievable in college and couldn't kick in the NFL? I mean, I don't, you know, Zane's percentages, 40 to 49 yards, is just not good. He's missing too many kicks. He's at about 65% in his career from that range, and it's got to be better. There's a lot of guys that are at 1,000. There's a lot of guys that are at 850, 800. He's at like 65%. He's 27th in the NFL in from the distance of 40 to 49 yards. 27th. Like, yeah. Those kicks have to be made. Like, you know, you can miss one occasionally, but he's missing too many of those kicks for me to have any faith that he should. I would go for a new kicker. Because, like, you brought it up earlier. Like, you know, what's Cliff going to do when it's, you know, fourth and three, and they're at the 30-yard line. Do you trust him to kick a 47-yarder, or are you going to go for it on fourth and three? Well, if you don't trust them, and you're going to go for it because you don't trust them, then you need to have a new kicker. You need to go to your GM, and you need to say, hey, honestly, you know, anything that gets past like 42 yards, I'm probably going to go for it because I don't trust them. And if that's, and then your GM's got to get you a new kicker, because you can't go into a game not trusting a kicker to hit a 45-yard field goal.
Was Roberto Aguayo the kicker Roberto that you Aguayo, were referring
yeah.
to?
Yeah,
Roberto
Aguayo.
I couldn't remember the name off the top of my
Florida
head. I had to look
State,
him up,
Florida State kicker. He's unbelievable.
Florida
right?
State kicker who was just supposed to be Mr. Automatic. He was drafted in the second round of the NFL draft, for goodness sakes.
Yeah. Could not make a field goal. Waste of money.
No. Yeah, you inspired me to look it up, and man, it is – you mentioned the percentages between 40 to 49 yards.
He's 27th in the league.
Yeah, Gambo, there is not – there are one, two guys that I can see in this league who have missed as many or more field goals from 40 to 49 yards as Zane Gonzalez has. Everyone else is either perfect – or they've missed like one, maybe two kicks. But most of them are either at none or one miss. The only other guys who have missed that many field goals from 40 to 49 yards, Steven Gostkowski and Dustin Hopkins from the Washington football team. That's it. Everybody else has made every single one or maybe missed one at the most. Yeah. Zane Gonzalez has missed four from that range. Four.
Count the number of guys. I don't have it up right now. I'm still looking at the fact that Maricopa County has double the amount of COVID cases for 100,000 residents of Santa Clara.
Get that off your screen. Yeah, that's for the next segment when we talk about the Niners. Yeah,
trying to understand why the Niners are coming in. But count how many guys are at 1,000%. How many guys that this year have not missed one single field goal from 40 to 49 yards? It's quite a bit.
Zuerlein, Tucker, McManus, Robbie Gould, Graham Gano. Jason Myers of Seattle, Will Lutz of New Orleans, Mason Crosby of Green Bay. I mean, what am I up to, seven or eight right
eight.
Now?
That's
and
eight.
Then
that's eight.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Those are the guys. Those are the guys. Yeah, it's.
I think it's even. Look, it might be more than that. But the bottom line is like you've got plenty of guys that have not missed a field goal, you know, from 40 to 49 yards, and we've got a guy here that's. You know, that's missed some big one. You can't miss that field goal. Like, you know, I mean,
You can't.
I mean, look, we could debate all day long how stupid it is to give them the ball back with a minute and 47 seconds left because you can't move the ball more than 20 yards down the field. But Zane Gonzalez has to make that field goal. And you can't stay in the NFL if you can't make these kicks. I mean, it's pretty simple, right? Do your job or get out of the league.
It is a meritocracy, man. It is a results-based industry. And if you're not going to make – and there's been no news from the Cardinals on this today. They did release tight end Evan Bayless. I know it gave you a little bit of a jump when you saw an email from the Cardinals that they had released somebody and you thought maybe it would be Zane, but it was Evan Bayless. I don't know what to expect. There is part of me that believes they just simply can't go on functioning like this, because the next time it comes to it, there's going to be, like you said yesterday, you just kind of had this feeling he wasn't going to make that kick. Can you imagine what's going to go through his head the next time he's lining up for a kick like that? What's going to go through Kyler Murray's head the next time with a kick like that? I mean, you know, now could Kyler's sideline demeanor improve a little bit? Yeah, probably. But you can kind of understand the frustration, right? You think about what happened against Miami. You think about this game yesterday. And you wonder if you could just make a kick. You see all these other kickers, whether it was the guy from Buffalo, whether it was the Miami guy who couldn't miss. Why can't the Cardinals have a guy like that? Where is the Cardinals' version of
the
guy?
All I want for Christmas.
Like that.
It's all I want for my birthday. I just want a kicker who can make a field goal from 45 yards. Make kick 40 to 49 yards. And listen, you miss from 52. All right. Forgive you. You miss from 55, no worries. That's a hard kick. 40 to 49, man, I need somebody that's making some kicks here. I got to have somebody make some of these kicks. I can't be sitting here thinking that the guy's going to miss it before he even lines up. That's not a good thing to do. So we need the limo for Zane Gonzalez. He needs to go. He needs a new job.
The NFL is currently dealing with arguably their toughest stretch of COVID-related issues. There's no question. The ripple effect now means there are two teams that call State Farm Stadium home. We'll tell you more about it coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. And let's loop Sarah back in. It's our Twitter poll question of the day, found as always on the Burns and Gambo Twitter account, at Burns and Gambo, one word, and it's brought to you by Sanderson Ford.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update, presented by Sanderson Ford.
Sarah,
yes.
What is our poll question today?
All right, we are talking about what else today? The flailing Arizona Cardinals. Five games left in the regular season for them. So we are asking, how many games do you think the Cardinals will win? Here are the four options for you to vote on. The four ranges,
eight.
I guess. We're going to do this again? Okay. All right, so Gambo says two.
I was just wondering when he was going to jump in with that. I knew it was only a matter of time. Yeah, 8 and 8. Yeah, okay.
So
let her read the options first, Gambo.
Yes. 4 to 5 wins, 3 wins, 2 wins, or 0 to 1 wins.
8 and 8. So it's 6 and 5. You're saying they got 2 more wins left in them.
I don't feel good about the way they're playing, man.
I
should beat the Rams.
I'm not saying you should. I'm not saying you should. I don't feel good about the way they're playing either.
Schedules. Just
have a feeling.
Yeah, I mean, San Francisco's playing hard. The Giants are playing hard. The Eagles suck, but they still have a chance to win. Like, look, you can't beat the Patriots when Cam Newton throws for 40 yards? I mean, come on.
A little more than 40, but not much more than 40. I'm going to go with 3 just because I feel like being optimistic today. It's all I've got. It's like that piece of wood that Rose and Leo were floating on in Titanic.
The
one that there was room for both of them on.
But then he's saying he died.
No reason she should have moved over a little bit and gave him
just slide over a little, Rose. There's plenty of room for Jack. Just slide over.
So
all right.
Is Jack
very
the Cardinals?
Selfish in that movie?
Jack is the Cardinals
he's
right now.
He's holding on to the door.
Exactly.
His teeth are chattering.
Yep. Yeah. And I
try
just
and hold on.
I need the universe to slide over a little bit on that piece of wood and make some room for the Arizona Cardinals so they can get on and get out of the freezing cold water. I'm going and 3 wins is that piece of wood. So I'm saying 3 wins because I believe there's an alternate universe where Rose slides over and makes room for Jack. So 3 wins. I think there's going to be 3.
And you know the image when he actually lets go at the end?
Mm-hmm.
And you could see him. That's
Zane. Sinking down. Oh.
Yeah.
That's going to be the Cardinals in 5 weeks.
That's Zane.
Oh, is that Zane?
That's Zane.
Yeah. Going into the cold, freezing Atlantic Ocean. What's our audience saying this question there?
53% of our voters apparently are very into your comparison, Burnsy.
Mm-hmm.
53% say 3 wins for the Cardinals out of the next 5 games. 28% are going with 2 with Gambo. 13% say 4 to 5 wins. And 7% think no wins or 1 win.
Appreciate the optimism there. All right, that's the poll question. You can find it on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page, at Burns and Gambo. The State Farm Stadium, home to the Arizona Cardinals, is now home to the San Francisco 49ers. Due to restrictions in Santa Clara County that prevent contact sports in that county for the next 3 weeks, the Niners announced today that in cooperation with the Cardinals and the NFL, their next 2 home games, quote-unquote home games, will be played at State Farm Stadium. That includes the 49ers hosting the Bills on Monday Night Football 1 week from tonight, and the 49ers hosting Washington 2 weeks from yesterday at State Farm Stadium. Where they're going to practice, don't know. Their preference is to stay in the Bay Area, practice in the Bay Area, and fly to Arizona, but that might not work out. It could work out where the 49ers, much like, was it New Mexico State, Gambo, that's basically moved the entire operation here to Arizona? The 49ers might have to do that for a few weeks until they can get the clearance to return to Santa Clara County.
Yeah, and I'll just continue to say this because I just get such a kick out of it. I mean, it just makes all the sense in the world to leave Santa Clara and come to Maricopa County. I mean, Maricopa County is currently averaging twice as many COVID-19 cases per 100,000 residents as Santa Clara. So you go from Santa Clara to Maricopa County, where they've got double the amount of COVID-19 cases, just makes, just common sense to do that, right? It makes all the sense in the world. Let's leave this place and go to a place that has double the amount of COVID cases as we have. But, look, it is what it is. I just got a kick out of that, so I'll continue to say it. But, yeah, I mean, they're going to come here, and they're going to play these games here because their county is not going to allow them to play.
Yeah, that is some Alanis Morissette-sized irony right there, the fact that they're coming here instead of staying there. But whatever. I mean, look, if there's one thing we learned from this last weekend, whether it's the number of times the NFL has moved this game between the Ravens and the Steelers, or if it's the fact that a practice squad wide receiver was the quarterback yesterday for the Denver Broncos, the NFL has made it clear, crystal clear, that playing these games and finishing these games, regardless of the circumstances, that is the priority. Doesn't matter how unwatchable that game was yesterday between the Broncos and the Saints, they're going to play it. Doesn't matter if you're moving the Ravens and the Steelers from a Thursday to a Sunday to a Tuesday to a Wednesday, they're going to play it. And it doesn't matter if you're going to now have 1 week from today, Gambo, a triple header of Monday Night Football to account for that game being moved. The NFL is going to do everything, and I mean everything in their power, to play these games and finish these games no matter what. That is the priority here.
All right, so let me go over this. They played on Sunday. They played on Monday. They played on Tuesday. They're going to play on Wednesday. They played on Thursday. The Cardinals are going to play on Saturday. Is Friday the only day of the week the NFL hasn't played on?
Assuming that the Ravens-Steelers game goes off without a hitch on Wednesday?
I'm just trying to think. Has there been a Friday night game?
Yeah, that'll be the only day of the week in 2020
well, then we
there
get
will
one
not
on
have
Friday.
Been an NFL game.
Yeah, we got to get one on a Friday. I mean, we just have to have it. We can't leave that. You know, we're playing bingo here. We need to get the Friday. And we played on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, Thursday. We played on 6 days. After the Steelers-Ravens play Wednesday, because they played three games on Tuesday. They played Monday. They played Thursday. They're going to play Saturday. Like, we need to get a game on a damn Friday.
It's funny you mentioned that, Gambo.
Why?
Looks like the NFL is trying to take care of that this year.
Oh, did they have one?
I Googled it. CBS Sports says in Week 16, there will be a Friday game on Christmas Day.
So this is the whole conspiracy theory.
Oh, a Christmas Day game. Okay.
The NFL just wanted to dominate the calendar week and have every single day to themselves.
And apparently there was one in 2009. The Titans hosted the Chargers.
On a Friday?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Was that also a Christmas? That was probably also a Christmas situation.
Maybe, but yeah, so apparently, I mean, it's obviously very, very rare, but apparently it has happened and will happen this season.
So
2020
the game was,
man. NFL plays on every day of the week.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So apparently what had happened was this game was supposed to happen on Tuesday. Ravens players had a players-only meeting recently to express concern about playing on Tuesday. So that might be in part why the game was moved to Wednesday. In fact, Pro Football Talk actually tweeted there were fears of the Ravens players refusing to play on Tuesday because they wanted at least one day to practice. Now, other sources were saying, yeah, it was discussed, but they also wouldn't have been paid if they had done that. And so they wanted to get paid. So they I don't know if that led to the game being played on Wednesday instead of Tuesday, but now there's a ripple effect, and we talked about this earlier. The ripple effect of the Ravens and the Steelers playing on Wednesday, 2 days from now, is that they obviously can't play on Sunday. That's a real quick turnaround. So now the games that they were scheduled to play on Monday, the Ravens and the Steelers, have now been moved to Monday. Hence, you've got a triple header of action on Monday. And here's what else is weird. That game on Wednesday, Gambo, it's going to be played at 1:40 in the afternoon Arizona time. There is going to be an NFL game that counts on a Wednesday afternoon at 1:40 while you and I are on the air. Weird. Weird.
I watched NBA regular season basketball games that started at 9 o'clock in the morning. I watched the Denver Broncos have a practice squad guy play quarterback and go 1 for 9 with 2 interceptions. There's nothing that shocked. We saw the California Little League rules go into play in Major League Baseball where you start an extra inning game with a runner on second. We've seen 7-inning doubleheaders. We've seen a bubble in Disney World. Like, you know, like we, you know, I don't, like, nothing surprises me here, right?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. But because they're moving this game around, J.K. Dobbins, they're not going to be eligible to play on Wednesday. Mark Ingram, now eligible to play.
Yeah, a lot of those guys.
Yeah, a bunch. By waiting, they've cleared some of their guys to be able to play in this game.
Good. I mean, that's – look, it's crazy what some of these teams have gone through COVID, right? There's been some teams that have – you know, Tennessee, the Ravens, been some teams, 20 people, you know, on the COVID list. But the NFL hasn't canceled the game yet. They have not canceled one game. So there's like, you know, when you figure it all out, there's like, you know, tons of games being played every single week. And they have not had to cancel one game. We saw baseball cancel games. You know, we've seen college football left and right. I've already got a list of games that are canceled for next Saturday for college football. List of games.
It's Monday. Yeah, it's Monday, and canceled, we've already got a bunch of cancellations.
Yeah. So the NFL has found a way, somehow, some way, they've played every single game that they were supposed to play.
Yeah. The eye tests and his own stats indicate his play has taken a step back. Is Kyler Murray regressing? And how can the Cardinals get their quarterback back on track? We'll go through the options next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday with Burns and Gambo. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
I didn't adjust anything. Like I said, you know, if they play me, I have to hand the ball off. You know, thought I probably could have checked it down maybe a couple once or twice more than I did, you know, in the past game. But other than that, I mean, there wasn't really any situations where, you know, I shied away from a hit or anything like that. I mean, they hit me a couple times anyway. So, you know, I played with like I said, I wasn't going to play if I couldn't be myself. So
we welcome you back to the Burns and Gambo Show. What did he miss?
We missed the check down comment. You know, he's got to run the plays. He's a second-year quarterback. He hasn't even completed 2 years. Veteran, you know, there are a lot of veteran quarterbacks that will change the play at the line of scrimmage if they see something or things like that. And, you know, I think that's something that Kyler's going to have to start doing a little bit more of. I think he's going to have to start, you know, you don't like the play call and you feel more comfortable with doing something else. And maybe you got to have that talk with Cliff, you know, about these plays. I mean, because listen, at the end of the first half, handed a ball to Kenyon Drake, no problem at all. No problem. I got no problem with that. It didn't work. Okay. Tried to get seven. You were at the 1-6-inch line. I got no problem with that handoff. But at the end of the game, handing the ball to Kenyon Drake is like fifth on my options of what I want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, number one on my list is that I will live and die with Kyler, not with Kenyon Drake. Kyler with the ball in his hands, run pass option, he gets tackled or he throws an incompletion. You know, I could live with it. I could deal with it. Because it's Kyler making the decision. He's the most incredible athlete that they have on the field. He's their quarterback. He's their leader. He can run for the first down. He can pass for it. You know, he's got to have that ball in his hands. I can live with that if he fails. I can't live with it if you hand the ball to Kenyon Drake and saying, go get me 2 yards, and they stop him.
When that game was over yesterday, the two biggest questions I had as the Cardinals lost to the Patriots, the two biggest questions I had, they both centered around Kyler Murray. Number one was, is he still hurt? And number two is, if he's not still hurt, then just how far are other teams going to take the Kyler Murray running option away from the Cardinals? Because one way or another, there's got to be some adjustment made. If he's hurt, he's got to get it. You just heard that sound bite there. Hey, I'm fine. If I couldn't be myself, I wouldn't be out there. Okay. Based off of that, I have to assume that you're healthy. I have to assume that you're good to go and that you can play. If you're not hurt and the Patriots and the Seahawks are scheming ways to take the run away from Kyler Murray specifically, hey, play calls for me to hand it off, I'm going to hand it off. That's what I'm going to do. If the read says to hand it off, I'm going to give the ball up. Then Cliff, in all of his offensive genius, needs to devise a better way for this offense to function with teams taking the run away. He's got to scheme it up better, because right now the Cardinals offensively look lost without Kyler Murray's ability to run the football.
Look,
lost. Like they just don't know what they're supposed to do. What? How? Okay, wait. they've taken that away from us. How exactly are we supposed to win football games and move the ball? They haven't looked the same these last two games, and somehow, some way, they have to figure out a counterpunch, another option, a different way. Get the ball to DeAndre Hopkins more. He only had 5 catches yesterday. It didn't even really seem like he was part of the game. Figure out another way to move the ball and score points, because if Kyler running was all you had, that's great. But eventually teams are going to figure out a way to take that away from you. You've got to have something else if you're the Cardinals.
Listen, 3rd-and-2, handoff to Kenyon Drake and have him go through the pile is very Vince Tobin-like. It's very Steve Wilkes-like. I don't expect that from Bruce Arians. I don't expect that from Cliff Kingsbury. It's very safe. It's non. I'm going to hand the ball off and have my running back try to get me to 2 yards. You know, it's very vanilla. It's very predictable. You know, and Cliff needs to be anything but predictable. Cliff is supposed to have plays that work in that situation. Now, again, at the end of the first half, handing the ball to Kenyon Drake, I got no issues with it. Some people said they should have taken the field goal. I don't agree. I think you should have went for the 7 points. They went for it. They were 6 inches away. They didn't make it. But at the end of the game, like, again, to me, 4th-and-2, hand the ball to Kenyon Drake. That's a Vince Tobin football game.
Yeah.
That's a Steve Wilkes football game. That's not a Bruce Arians football game.
Do you think Kyler Murray is regressing? Is this regression that we're seeing out of Kyler?
It's an interesting question, because I don't know if we want to judge 2 games as regressing. He's not playing well. Like, he's not playing well. So if you want to call that regressing, I guess you could call it regressing. But, like, you know, regressing to me is like what happened to Baker Mayfield last year. That was a whole year of him regressing
from his rookie year. Yeah.
So I don't know if you want to judge 2 games as regressing. I guess you could if you wanted to. There's still 5 games left. If he flops in these 5 games, then it'd be a lot easier to call it regressing. I think he ran into 2 defensive coordinators that, you know, 2 defensive minds that really knew how to shut him down, and Belichick and Pete Carroll. And Cliff's got to do a better job of making sure that Kyler's freed up to, you know, to be himself. Because, look, we both know this, and everybody listening knows this. So I'm not telling you something you don't know. This offense is dynamic because Kyler can run the football. If Kyler doesn't run the football, this offense is very bland and very average. It's nothing special.
Yeah, and that is after the game. That is not how Kyler Murray sees it, apparently.
I don't think I have to run for us to be successful. I'm very confident in our running backs. It is what it is. They choose to, you know, take me out of it. I got to hand the ball off. I can't control the ball after that. I got to hand the ball off.
The numbers paint an entirely different story. First 8 games of the season, Kyler Murray was averaging about 6.94 yards per attempt. The last 2, he's averaging about 4.6 yards per attempt. And that's nothing to sneeze at, but it's not 6.94. And the Cardinals offense, the last 5 games when they went 4-1 and the only loss was to the Dolphins. During those 5 games, the Cardinals were averaging 33.5 points per game, 470 yards per game. They were an offensive juggernaut. The last 2, they've averaged 19 points per game and 306 yards per game. And the one common denominator in both is that Kyler Murray had 5 rushing attempts in both of those games, when he had averaged double that in the 5 games where they were putting up all those points. It is the reason why they were able to move the ball. It is the reason why they were able to score points. And if every defensive coordinator in this league looks at what Belichick did and looks at what Carroll did and mimics that against the Cardinals, Cliff's got to find another way to make this offense dynamic.
Yeah.
That's what he's getting paid for.
I mean, you want the good news?
Sure.
I mean, the Rams, their head coach is an offensive guy. Their defensive coordinator is Brandon Staley. He's a first-year defensive coordinator for the Rams. So, you know, McVay's an offensive guy. The Giants' defensive coordinator is Patrick Graham. The Eagles' defensive coordinator, not bad, in Jim Schwartz. And then the 49ers, you know, their head coach is a offensive guy, too, in Shanahan. So they went up against a couple of coaches that are, you know, really good defensive guys in Carroll and Belichick. The 49ers is that Robert Saleh. He's the defensive coordinator. So, you know, the good news is you're going up against some more, you know, more offensive-minded guys than defensive-minded guys. So
yeah, but I mean,
maybe that
does it matter if if those two defensive-minded coaches just put two games' worth of tape out there for the whole world to see how to limit Kyler Murray's effectiveness? They might not be defensive guys by trade, but there are now two games' worth of tape on exactly how to defend the Arizona Cardinals. That's pretty important stuff, isn't it?
Got to have the personnel. You got to you got to have players that have been in that system and have done it in the past. I don't think it's easy to just teach it in a week. You know what Bill Belichick did. I mean, it was a great comment on what he did to Hopkins. Like he did, you know, how they stopped Hopkins, and it was just literally a little of everything. I mean, it was everything. So these guys, they're geniuses. Like, you know, Carroll and Belichick, they're defensive geniuses. And I don't know, you know, now you're going up against some, maybe you don't worry as much. I don't know. I mean, I'm looking for a silver lining here, and you just went up against two of the, you know, the better defensive minds in football, and they're done. You're not going to play another game against Seattle. You're not going to play New England, and you're going to play the Rams with an offensive-minded guy, and you're going to play San Francisco with an offensive-minded guy, and maybe that will help Kyler.
Yeah, something's got to change. He's that running version of him is the magic ingredient. And without it, it's a very bland meal without it. And if it's not coming back, then they have to find out other ways. Cliff Kingsbury, he's been an NFL coach now for 27 games. So when the Cardinals' top man, when will he iron out some of his game management issues? How much longer will it take to iron out some of his game management issues? We'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.